blessing to you today as we gather. Did you notice how that last hymn was based on the gospel? Pretty cool, huh? Whoever chose that hymn was right on. Well, we are continuing the 4th of July in a sense, but certainly the freedom that we talked about and that we experienced continues on year-round. I must admit that when I was in school, junior high, high school, even college to some extent, I didn't like history. I don't know, history to me was memorizing dates and people and places and trying to put them together so I could pass the darn test. I didn't do so well, and thus I hated history. Finally, I like history as I'm getting older, and now very old. But I learn a lot of things about history, and specifically about 4th of July and the freedoms that we have for our country. I think about Revolutionary War and Civil War both. I read something and looked at one of their museums, I think it was Gettysburg, and realized that the medical care, which they did not have, was extreme. And many, many deaths, maybe even most deaths, came from infection, from wounds that could not heal because there were no medical services. There was no Red Cross in those days. There were no antibiotics. They didn't understand infection even. And so the fighting conditions were tough, yes, but even more so the medical conditions afterwards. And to have to suffer that indignity, you know, to go to war and you're fighting for a cause and you get sick with something and you die from that rather than anything caused by the war. But that's the way it was. That was part of the sacrifice they gave to bring us to where we are in our world today. Freedom of the press, freedom of speech, freedom of religion. And we still struggle with all those, don't we? It's a rather constant thing in our world today and in our America. But freedom of religion, that is freedom to go to whatever church you want to, or no church at all, is one thing. But the freedom that our gospel, well, epistle and gospel get into is more the freedom we have in Christ, the freedom from sin. Pretty common theme for us Christians. We say it all the time with our confession of sins like we did today, you know, that in Christ we are free. Well, we know that. It's not like suddenly, oh man, I'm free. You know, yeah, I've been through this many Sundays, you know. It's an old, old theme. Still appreciated, but usually deep within, huh? Deep within. That's where it's really good there. Question, have you ever been conflicted? It's an interesting word, not one we use too often. Conflicted, meaning you got two choices and you like them both. Maybe like you really wanted to sleep in this morning, but you knew you should go to church. Here you are. You decided. Maybe you wanted to go to the beach instead of going to church. Another conflict. So that's one particular conflict. Or you want to start a new project at home, but you really want to take some time to relax and rest. You like them both. Or the one that I find comes up pretty regularly in some form or other. I really want to eat that ice cream fudge sundae, but I really should eat an apple instead. Yeah, all these healthy choices to keep my waistline where it is anyway. And of course, in our nation, I find one of the huge conflicted areas is what to do with North Korea. You know, it's in the news a lot, you know. You know, shall we attack? Shall we negotiate? Shall we pressure China and others to, there's just so many possibilities to it. We are conflicted as a nation. Paul writes about it in the gospel lesson for today too, and it's a conflict based on moral things that are coming up. Verses 15 to 17, a little different translation from what's in your bulletin. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. Another paraphrase puts it this way: my own behavior baffles me. You know, we just don't understand it sometimes. We know what's the right thing to do, and yet we're really drawn to something else. It's a common conflict. I find it in myself, so I'm sure you do in yours, that it's just something that's constantly battling us. I, for instance, really want to treat all people equally. Basic thing of life, huh? Christian ethics. But I don't get critical. Say to my wife, look at that old lady. Not herself, somebody else. You know, so something about them. You make comments on and you say, shame on myself. Why did I do that? Why did I say that? Why did I think that? Nobody knows that, but you're thinking it. You're with St. Paul. You're in a conflicted situation. I don't want to do those kind of things, but I do them anyway. I want to love all people. That's the Christian, the right thing, the only thing to do. And yet it's very, very difficult. Especially when you start talking about people who are doing nasty things and criminals, or talking negative, or talking about something really wild that is way out of my realm of comfort, all the way to judging people who don't look like us for one reason or 100 others. Sin is around. It leads us into a conflicted situation. I had a little story that I heard about. It was supposed to have happened way back in 2003. A group of Boeing employees who has worked or does work for Boeing. Yeah, I knew there'd be a bunch of you. You can check this out and see if it's true, but I had it in my history annals that in 2003, some wise Boeing employees decided they wanted to go on a rafting trip. And so they knew where they could get a raft. It's out of a 747. And so they decided to take that raft out of the 747, and they knew enough about security so they could get that thing out of the build, out of the jet, out of the premises, and onto their property so they could go rafting. And they took it up to the river, and they deployed it, got it in, jumped into the boat, and here comes a Coast Guard helicopter over beneath them. It was homing in on the emergency beacon, which automatically deploys when that raft is inflated. They were caught. Last I heard, they were no longer Boeing employees. But, you know, they were in a conflicted situation. They knew they shouldn't do that, and they went ahead and did it anyway. Shame on them. But it's a rather common story, isn't it? Rather common story. Verses 18 to 21 tell us a little something different. For I know that nothing good dwells within me. Oh my goodness, is he serious? Nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now if I do, this is hard to read. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. Oh, my goodness. It's a rather tough, conflicted situation that Paul talks about, and yet we can identify. Paul was rather human, and he was rather human in the things he talked about, real about it. And so we have that same situation. Anybody remember Flip Wilson? What's Flip's famous phrase? The devil made me do it, right? Or Flip would say, the devil made me do it. Yeah. Now, was he right? Theologically right? Yeah, he really was, sort of, because the scripture talks about what the devil as a roaring lion prancing about seeking whom he may devour. That's that vivid picture of the devil and his work. So yeah, he's out to get us. And yes, the devil might make us do things, but who's responsible? We're still responsible. We're responsible for what we do, say, and think. So you can use Flip's phrase, and there's truth to it, but we are still responsible. We're the culpable ones, and we are the sinners. That is one of the main themes of Scripture. And that's why we need confession of sins, huh? And pretty regular. Some Lutherans are criticized. Oh, every time you get together, we poor sinners confess unto you. Like, you keep beating yourselves over the head all the time, we poor sinners. And I understand that. Some of the more modern preachers and churches don't do that, do they? They don't dwell on that theme. Joel Osteen is all positive, okay? And others. We have to remember, though, what Scripture says. We are sinners, and we are culpable, and we need the Lord's forgiveness. Oh, Paul says, wretched man that I am. Us Germans would say, ach du lieber. I don't know, maybe the Hispanics would say, the Jewish people say, oy vey, huh? I've heard that. And then, ay, ay, caramba, might be. And Charlie Brown would say, good grief. What do we do with this condition that we are in? And we live in it. We can't solve it until we die. Then we solve it. We could be with the Lord. We're fully with him, no longer sinners. But as long as we're here, we have this ball and chain around our ankle that keeps dragging along with us. And so it's a conflicted situation we live in. I don't know quite how this applies, but I like it. It's a kid's story. I'm not sure if it really happened. But it was a lady who invited some people over for dinner, let's say for the 4th of July, since that was close, huh? And ladies, when you do that and you're in charge, you know how you have to hustle around and make sure this timing is right and you're still trying to visit at the other time and make sure that everybody's got drinks. And my wife yells at me, did you serve them drinks? Did you ask them anything? Oh, yeah, man. Okay, a lot to get ready to put it all there. So this happened that they finally sat down to eat, and the mother asked her 6-year-old daughter if she'd say the blessing for dinner. She says, well, Mom, I don't know what to pray. And so the mom says, well, just pray what Mom does. So she says, okay. Oh, Lordy, why on earth did I invite all these people over for dinner? Amen. She listened real good, didn't she? Yeah. Because she was listening, and the lady was in a conflicted situation. And that happens so much. You want to invite people over and have a time of sociability, especially if you're in charge of family gatherings all the time, and there's usually one in charge of that. And you want to have them over, but it's a lot of work. And so both things exist. We exist in a conflicted world. Who will deliver us from this situation? How will we solve this? Paul says, thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? There's the answer. He is the one that solves it for us. And we know that intellectually, we know that religiously, but still in our everyday life, we have the two things continuing to happen. And that's the way it is. That is life. We have continued conflicts and conflicted situations in life, but we know that we hold on to our God. I like to think of it as my cable up there that I keep holding on to, and even though I'm dragging this ball and chain and it's getting tangled in things and I'm slipping off of things here, I still got hold, and that's what I hold on to. for this life and for life eternal. Just like our gospel says, Jesus invites us, come unto me, all who are weary and burdened. And we all get that way sometime, don't we? We get weary, especially at the end of a day. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Thank you, Lord. Rest for my soul. Rest for your soul. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. And there, that's a topic for another whole sermon there. The Lord's yoke is easy and burden is light. Rightly viewed, that is certainly true. I like the phrase, you will find rest for your souls. Because life is a little bit tough. We've all gone through some very difficult times. I just know that because life is that way. I have too. And I know that we go up and down. We go through life like that in the conflicted situations as well. And yet we come out holding on to our cable, the Lord Jesus Christ, for he will give us rest. Wonderful words worth keeping in your hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. We rise and